What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities. I hear a call
of a lifetime ring. All right, 405. Dave Glover Show on KMOX. Dave will be back on Monday. Rachel Zimmerman, Andrew Stolz, Kevin Wheeler hanging out. George Mahey joining us on a normal Friday spot. Hi, George.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What's going on in food before we get to the weekend?
Well, you know, I think I hinted at this a couple weeks ago, saying I was going to write an article about... I've been talking to the guys that serve these massive portions of food.
Yeah.
Because there's an Ozempic movement out there,
oh.
And a lot of folks are eating a lot less food. And these two are going to, I think, clash at some point in time. These guys that are serving these giant
tureens
of pasta.
Oh.
And everybody's, you know, a lot of people are going to say, hey, that's way too much. So what I did is I asked a bunch of local restaurant owners if they had considered adding a so-called Ozempic menu, which is basically smaller portions at reduced prices. Because that is a thing on, especially out in Hollywood and where all the beautiful people are and all the trendy restaurants.
Well, aren't all those fancy places where you get the one piece of fish and that's it? And there's like a little dot of, there's one pea and there's a dot of sauce there.
Yeah, boy, that's a great dot too. You better savor it because you're only getting a dot. It's so true. But a lot of these places, you know, this is a thing, and I talked to a couple of these guys, and one guy said, it's so funny, I was just talking to my doctor about this, of all people, and he said, in 5 years, this Ozempic type, these drugs are going to be generic, and they're going to cost less than $100 a month, and everybody's going to be able to afford it.
They've got a pill coming, Rachel. I think you just had that story, the other day?
Yeah, it's not Ozempic, it's Eli Lilly.
Right. I mean, it's not the same brand, but a pill that's not an injection to make it.
It's semaglutide. The same type of thing. But anyway, the point of this is coming down the pike, I think, to everybody, and I think it's a good thing. Not that it's going to solve world obesity, but it sure can help. But what it's going to do in the process is affect how people eat, affect restaurant menus. And I just asked these guys, you know, are you guys considering this? And this one guy said, you know, we just talked about this. I just talked about it with my doctor, and he said, yeah, you know, you better start planning on it because it's coming. So he offers half portions of salads and entree salads, I guess. And he's talking about doing the same with his signature entree. So yes, you're gonna see a couple of these guys doing it. And then one guy said, I have no desire to do that. I don't think I want to do that at all. That's not something I want to do. One guy said, I've never even heard of this, and this is horrible, and why did you ruin my day with this news? And one guy said, you know, I got to love Brant Baldanza out at OG Hospitality Group. He said, we've been offering, quote, Ozempic menu items for a while now at all of our concepts. Our guests order a full-size menu item at regular price, and we offer them a to-go box at a reduced price.
This is what I'm saying.
Make that free of charge for the uneaten part.
This is what I'm saying. Why would anybody turn down leftovers?
Some people don't like leftovers.
Well, they can give them to someone else. Yeah. I mean, it's a free extra meal that I don't have to cook.
That's an easy solution. But a lot of people would rather see a half order of pasta at half the price or slightly more and be done with it. And then, again, we can all go out. We can afford to go out to eat again, basically. And so then the argument is, well, how are restaurants going to survive with these reduced check averages if everybody starts doing this?
Because you're going to need a lot more customers.
And that's the answer. And hopefully, like all things, they cover it with volume. Volume cures all ills. So the thought is that since everything's so much cheaper, more people will come out to eat again and the equilibrium will be achieved.
What percentage of you guys, all of you guys, say, great, you're good with leftovers, right? I know Dave hates them. Dave does not like leftovers.
I know some people, and I know a lot of people that use, you know, that get leftovers and then never touch them.
Oh.
It's just kind of weird. Like, why did you even just, like you said, give it to somebody who will eat it because...
mean, I'll eat
a lot
them.
Of things are, you know, some things are you know, work well as leftovers, and some
and
things
some
don't.
Things are harder, but you just got to finesse it a little bit. You know, like steak is a hard thing to do as a leftover.
I think so,
but
too.
You know what?
Yeah.
There are ways to finesse it a little bit. Where if you do it right and you're careful, it's still great and you're not ruining it.
Do you slow cook it in a pan?
Or you do it like really fast, but it's like for a couple seconds at a time.
Okay.
And then it stays, it's like, and I cut it into smaller pieces.
Okay, well that works.
So if you take it and you go to a little bit smaller pieces, and sometimes like longer, thinner slices, sometimes just bite-sized ones, and it's just like 5-6 seconds each side, give it a chance to get that little tss on there. The inside still stays the way you had it basically before, and it's warmer. It's warmed because you can now eat it. It's not easy because you can screw it up really bad.
And you know, let's be real here. 90% of the people throw it in the microwave and hope that it comes out edible.
I will do that for most things. I don't do that for steaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And things like if I were to get a fish meal, I would probably air fry it or... You know, do something like that in the oven just to not, so it's because some things are just not good in the microwave. That is true.
All of my leftover pizza, and a lot of people swear by cold pizza. I'm not one of those people,
yeah.
But I will, and I won't put it in the microwave, but I'll put it in a pan, low heat with a lid on it, and you just kind of keep your eye on it.
I got you. So you're getting the melt on the top, but you're getting the little crispy thing on the bottom.
And it's darn near as good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Have you ever done that, Rach?
It's really good.
Have you ever done what?
I'm the whole like the frying pan thing.
Yeah.
Have you? I've not done that yet, but I do the. I'm a big fan of the pizza half and half, where I will like take it for like 20 seconds, 30 seconds in the microwave.
Yeah,
and then put it in the oven with the broiler.
Yeah.
For like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So you get the brown on the top of the cheese. You get a little bit of the crunch on the bottom. I like to be creative with reheating things.
And this whole Ozempic menu thing, I thought it would be interesting to talk to, like I said, the guys who offer these big portions, like especially the guys at Bartolino's. Their mantra, their grandmother's mantra is, I forget exactly what it is, serve them a lot of, serve quality food and a lot of it, basically.
Yeah.
He was the guy I went to first. I can't wait to see what this guy, you know, I thought I'd get this long dissertation. Yeah. His quote is, this is not something that is on our radar.
Yeah.
That's all I got
for
him.
Man.
And they're sticking by their guns.
Yeah.
And like you said, hey, we'll continue to give the to-go things and those that don't want to clean their plate are fine. But what has happened, you get this kind of a side result. People aren't eating as much. They can't eat as much. You know,
your stomach
is full. So
that's the whole point. Yeah.
So they're sitting looking at these plates, and then the server comes up and thinks something's wrong because they're not eating.
Oh, I get you. Yeah.
And they're forced to say, is everything okay? You know, does it taste all right? Is there anything I can get you?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the people either have to say, you know, I'm not hungry, or, you know, they have to come up, and it's usually they get the eyeball like, okay, I know what's going on
gotcha.
Here. You're an Ozempic guy. And
so,
that's become a thing too. And people are, you know, kind of, everybody's kind of doing the old wink, wink thing saying, this is why. And the other thing too, you know, I don't know how much you know about this, but this drug also causes a lot of people when they take alcohol to feel nauseous. It makes you sick to your stomach.
Right.
So this has an impact. This is obviously going to affect restaurants too. So my point with all this is, hey guys, if you're not thinking about this, you should be, because as this price continues to come down, more and more people are going to be, you know, using these things, and they're going to continue to go out to dinner, and you just have to kind of be ready for it. I say ride the marketing wave and attack it and say, yeah, here's our, you know, you don't have to call it an Ozempic menu, but it's, you know, our half price entrees or smaller appetites or however you want to do it. I just think it's something that the sooner the restaurants address it, I think the better they'll be.
Hey, George, since you brought up people, like getting nauseous whenever they get a cocktail, I was looking at a couple of menus earlier today and just noticing like the mocktail section of the menu.
Huge.
Yeah, they seem more popular than ever. And the crazy thing is they charge just as much for a cocktail, or maybe like $2 cheaper. I'm just wondering, like, in your experience, how successful is that? How many people do you know who are willing to pay $13 for a mixed drink without any spirits in it?
Most.
Some fruit juice.
Most is the answer to your question.
Really?
And I think in the restaurant's defense, they'll say, you know, we put just as much thought and time and labor, you know, so we didn't add one ingredient being the alcohol. We still, you know, got the juices and squeezed the juices and did this and that and crafted this cocktail. So it's basically the same thing without alcohol. So they say it's the same, basically the same amount of work, and they feel so a couple bucks.
How much
less.
Work is it different for a steak and a burger? I'm paying less for the burger because it ain't a steak.
Yeah, but yeah, right. But you got you got costs, front end costs involved. But yeah, so that is a huge segment. It was before this whole Ozempic thing. Because people are not drinking as much alcohol, they're, you know, finding other ways to amuse themselves, let's say. And alcohol sales are way, way down. And
in restaurants?
Yes. And fortunately, the mocktails have picked up a lot of the slack. And there's a lot of people that they want to drink something. They want to, you know, socially, but they're just, I don't need any alcohol. I'm there. I'm good. I'm where I need to be. But I want to have my hand on something and hold on to something and be sipping on something. So you'll see the mocktail section of menus continue to increase.
I don't mean this to be silly.
Sure,
it's probably going to sound silly. Because you just mentioned the other things that will get you in that place you want to be.
Yes.
Which would not be alcohol, but would be like things that are like legalized marijuana.
Yes.
Gummies.
Yeah.
Edibles, regular old.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So has that changed anything as far as like people wanting to eat more? Or is that a weird balance between, man, do I get the munchies if I'm doing that and on the medicine?
The lines at the drive-thrus are huge. No, you're right.
Because it's like an interesting, I mean, I know it's probably silly.
Maybe it's offsetting the Ozempic people who are eating less. You've got these other people that come in that's like,
but what if you're both? Which one wins?
I'll take the whole left side of the menu, please.
If you're both, which one wins? The Ozempic or the gummies?
It's another thing I can't answer, but it's a different.
Yeah, you got to research that.
Different day, different, what do you call it? You know, it's something else to take care of your... You know, your needs at a restaurant. Yeah. But I really think that this whole, these gummies, and it's just the dynamic is fascinating.
Yeah.
And this complexion of restaurants continues to change. And you know, these guys are either going to, create something new, or they'll say, you know what, I'm good. Like a lot of them said, nope, we're not changing anything. This will work for us. Anyways, I just find it fascinating to see how they pivot or don't.
George, I'm just looking at the openings and closings that are posted for this week on stlmag.com. I wanted to ask you about Dave's Hot Chicken, because every time I open Instagram, TikTok lately, it's someone going out to this spot in Chesterfield. Have you been out there?
I have not. And,
okay.
I know that they opened a couple weeks ago. It's on Chesterfield Airport Road. I do know that. And it's a chain, Rachel. You know that, right? This is their first metro area location.
Okay.
So that is all I know, but it sure has the social media buzz. And there's something to be said for that. That's how you start these crazy things, these crazy trends. So, yes, that's open in Chesterfield. There were, if you remember, there were, gosh, by the time I tallied it up, there were almost 40 restaurants that opened in June. 40 restaurants in 30 days by the time I got them all tallied up, which is crazy. This month, July, it was a little bit more back to normal. I think there were 5 or 6 closures and about 15 openings. So we're kind of back to normal, and it's slowing down a little bit as we get into August. But, you know, they keep coming. They keep it coming.
Yeah, I'm looking at the coming soon, too. Salt and Smoke is opening 2 new locations. First of all, I want to say Salt and Smoke is probably my favorite barbecue in the city. It's just so solid and so good every time. But, like, what is it about the St. Louis area that we do have so many of these restaurants that can have, you know, 6 locations and they all seem to do well? Is that typical of a city of our size, or do you think we have something special going on here?
I think it's typical of a city of our size. And if it's the right concept, Taco Buddha could do a lot more restaurants than they have. Mm. It's just they've got the mix. They've got the it factor. Salt and Smoke, you know, great product, very well run. Everything about it is top drawer. And 2 more restaurants coming. I think that gives them 8 or 9. But Yeah, it's you know, Katie's is doing her fourth restaurant that will open in the fall down in Crestwood, right next to a new Mexican restaurant from the Cyberks people. They've never done a Mexican place before. It's going to be called the Mexican STL. And these two are in two freestanding buildings right across the way from each other. And all of a sudden, this part of the old Crestwood Mall is going to go from 0 to 60. And it's like all of a sudden, it's going to be like a new city down there. So
sounds kind of great.
All that's coming down the line.
George, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
All right, DGS on a Friday. Rach, you caught my interest, and I saw this separately, by the way, but the poor sportsmanship display in your beloved sport of tennis.
Yeah, it's so disappointing because this is a player I've talked about on the air a couple of times. Really like her a lot, but she disappoints me a lot with the way she acts, and that is Naomi Osaka. She was in the finals last night in Montreal. So I think that's a WTA like 1000. So not one of the Grand Slams, but it's a big deal for her to be in that final after I don't think she's won a final since she stepped away from tennis to have a baby in 2022. So this was a big deal for her. Let me get the whole story pulled up here because I don't want to get anything wrong. She was facing this 18-year-old girl. Her name's Victoria Mboko. She is incredible. Like, she was a wild card draw for this tournament, defeated like Coco Gauff to get to the final and some other great players to make it to the finals. She ends up beating Naomi Osaka. They go to three sets. She ends up beating Naomi. Naomi is so upset during the trophy ceremony that she can't smile. She can't get it together. She's basically pouting publicly. And when she's handed her trophy and handed the microphone to give a speech, as you are expected to do in tennis, she goes, "Oh, thanks, I guess." She gives a 30-second speech where she thanks her team and the people running the tournament and doesn't congratulate the winner, who a couple days before had told the press, "So excited that I get to play Naomi Osaka. She is my idol and I looked up to her growing up." Victoria Mboko then gives her speech, thanks Naomi, is just a complete class act. I'm really happy for this girl. I think we can expect great things from her in the future. But it was just so disappointing that it's like the whole like sad sack thing that Naomi consistently does. And, you know, her story kind of started, or this narrative kind of started, because she spoke out about mental health in sports, particularly in tennis. I think this is absolutely a real issue that should be addressed. But at the same time, you have to be able to, no matter how you're feeling, you should be able to suck it up and at least congratulate your opponent, who deserves congratulations for winning their first final ever.
If you can't do the basic things that go along with playing the sport, then don't play the sport.
That's what I said. I was talking about it with Kurt earlier today. I'm like, I feel like she should quit tennis, honestly.
I mean, and again, no disrespect. If you're dealing with legit anxiety or whatever, totally fine. But in the world of sports, highly competitive sports, there's a standard of behavior, there's a standard of performance, and there's a standard of treatment of your peers.
Yes.
That's expected. And if you cannot meet those expectations, you need to do something else.
Absolutely. And even putting aside the professional expectation, on a personal level, it was just so devastating to see her slight Mboko like that, because this is someone that she looks up to. I mean, it was just very sad. And she did post on Threads earlier today and
trying
say,
to
like,
make
oh,
up for it.
I should have said congratulations, but I was just too upset. It's like, dude,
I'm too much
get it
about
together.
Myself in the moment.
Yes.
And let's be honest. You lost in the finals.
Yeah, you still won like a ton of money. You did really great. Yeah. Why are you acting like it's the end of the world?
Yeah, you gotta be able to handle yourself as a professional in that professional setting.